Blog Talk Radio.
I was having challenges with my old bank. Lots of red flags. Yellow ones too. Fees, penalties,
unnecessary fees,
playing dirty. So I broke up with bad banking and moved on with SoFi Checking and Savings. Now I get up to 2.0% APY on all my money and pay no account fees. Feels good to get my money right.
Bankers disqualified.
Break up with bad banking. Get 2.00% interest and earn up to $300 when you set up direct deposit. SoFi, get your money right.
This is Dr. Chinchilla Donesia, the commissioner of WBNN. The those of you that have been having trouble tuning into WBNN's programming due to phone service provider issues with Metro, T-Mobile, or Cricket, I have a solution for you. Go to the Google Play Store or the Apple Play Store, download the TextNow app onto your cell phone, choose a phone number, and then you will be able to tune into all of WBNN's programming. I am the Honorable Dr. Chinchilla J.
All right, what's happening, everybody? Welcome to another WBNN broadcast of The Work Is Done. I am Pastor Kev. We are broadcasting live out of Lagos, Nigeria, and I want to welcome everybody that's taking the time to tune in tonight. Tonight we're talking about resting in Jesus. And the reason why I wanted to do this topic tonight is because for those of you that don't know, I live in the state of Florida. And as you know, Florida just experienced one of the worst hurricanes in the history, probably, of Florida. Hurricane Ian came through and, you know, no more than an hour away from me, Fort Myers was totally devastated by this hurricane. And, you know, so tonight, you know, when we're talking about resting in Jesus, you know, Matthew, in the book of Matthew, chapter 11, Jesus says, "Come to me, all ye who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Now, when you talk about the kind of rest that he's talking about, he's not about, you know, not going through trials and tribulations, not going through the storms of life. That's not what he's talking about. You know, one of the things that we have, you know, if you're a car owner, a homeowner, you know, you have to have an insurance. And the insurance is, in case something happens, you're covered. That's in case something happens. You know, and then it, there's still this deductible that you have to pay, you know, whether it's your fault. And then here's the thing. It really depends on the type of insurance that you have, because, you know, there's no fault, there's liability. You know, there's different types of insurance that you can have. And depending upon the type that you have, that will determine how much coverage, how much you are reciprocated, how much you are compensated for your loss, for your injury. Now, when we talk about resting in Jesus, instead of having insurance, we have assurance. Now, what is the difference? The difference is that, you know, when I have assurance, then it doesn't matter really what happens in my life. And see, this is a place that I've gotten to, that I just believe that no matter what happens in my life, God's got my back. Now, for some of you who have never really been through anything, now, you know, my wife and I, we actually survived our first hurricane. We've been in Florida for 2.5 years, and we actually survived. Now, this latest hurricane that was supposed to go in one direction, then it changed at the last minute, and we did get some effects from it. You know, we got a lot of rain. We had some wind. But thank God we're not in the flood zone or flood area. But here's the thing that I had to understand. Because it was at this time last year that I had to have assurance. Because for many of you, if you remember, at this time last year, my father had just died. He died on the 27th. Actually, he died on the 28th of September. And at the same time that he was dying, my wife was in the hospital with COVID, kidney failure, lung failure, heart failure, and doctors were looking at, you know, the fact that she may not come out. They didn't think she was going to make it. And I had to realize that the assurance that I had was in the will of God. It had to be in the will of God. I had to recognize that I had to be pleased with what the will of God was for my life. And a lot of times people really believe that, well, if you say that you're a Christian, if you say you're a child of God, then a lot of people believe that that means that you live a life with no turmoil, with no drama, with no storms. I don't know why people think that. I don't, and especially people who say they read the Bible, because if you read the Bible, everybody that God used went through something. Everybody. Nobody lived a life that was, it was a sunny day every day. Nobody that God used in the Bible was, you know, just had it easy all the time, every time. No, these people had to go through some things, and they had to realize that even in the bad times, even when they went through the hard times, God's word was true, where he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So, you know, I was reminded, you know, especially during this hurricane, because I actually, to be totally honest, we didn't know if it was going to come directly at us or not. We took the precautions, you know. We knew, well, I knew that our house was built to withstand a Category 4 hurricane. I knew that it was built to those specifications. I put our shutters on all of our windows on all exposed areas, so I did that. But it didn't mean that we wouldn't be directly hit. But at the same time, you know, because see, as a pastor, I have to live what I preach. I have to live it. I can't just preach it. I can't just teach it. I have to live this thing. And I honestly, yesterday, I got to the point where it was like in the book of Mark, where Jesus told the disciples, he said, you know, let's get in the boat. We're crossing over to the other side. And then, as they were on their way, the Bible says a great storm arose. This is in the book of Mark, chapter 4. It says a great storm arose to where the disciples, they were scared. But Jesus was asleep. He was in the boat, asleep. Why? Because he had already decreed where they were going. And it didn't matter what happened, what the enemy tried to do to prevent them from getting to where they were going. He had already decreed that they were going to the other side. And when the disciples came and woke him up, and they were like, you know, don't you worry that we're about to perish? He looked at him and says, why are you so fearful, or you of little faith? You know, and I got to the point yesterday, like I said, we didn't know if we would be directly hit. This thing was coming up the Gulf. It was coming right in our direction. And we were praying, of course, just like everybody else. But see, sometimes people think that if you pray and the bad thing still happens, that God, either God didn't hear your prayer, God didn't want to answer your prayer, or you must have done something wrong, that God didn't answer your prayer. That is just a trick of the enemy. These are the lies that the devil tells you to get you out of faith and get you to continue operating in fear. It doesn't mean that if the bad thing happens, it doesn't mean that God didn't, you know, hear your prayer. It didn't mean that he didn't want to respond to your prayer. I'm sure that there were people who live in the Fort Myers area, who live down there in Naples, where their houses were flooded. The streets are still flooded. These people lost everything. I'm sure that they were praying. I'm sure you still had people who were down there praying. You had family and loved ones who were praying for them. It doesn't mean that God didn't answer the prayer. Not what that means. It doesn't mean that because they went through, you know, the loss of possessions and some of them, and we've right now the last count that I heard was there were over 20 people who lost their lives. It doesn't mean that God abandoned them. It just means that God can work miraculous things through bad situations. That's where the assurance comes in. And going back to what I was going through last year, like I said, you know, my father was dying. I was praying that he would live. but he was dying. My wife was in the hospital. She was in the ICU going through things. I was praying that she would come out of it, but here's what I had to understand. Here's what I had to realize is that if she didn't come through, just like my dad, if my dad didn't come through, whatever the will of God was for my life, I had to accept that. You know, and it's just like that when you read in the book of Daniel about the three Hebrew boys, Shadrach, you know, Meshach, and the Abednego, or the bad Negro, you know, when they were told to bow down and worship the idol, this bull statue that the king had set up for himself, when they were told that they had to do it, if not, they were going to be put in the fiery furnace. You know what they prayed? You know, well, not necessarily prayed, but here's how they responded to the king. It says, King, check this out. Even if you put us in the furnace, our God is able to save us. But even if he doesn't, here's the thing, you got to catch this. Even if he doesn't save us, we are still not going to bow down and worship your statue. We are not going to dishonor God just to save our own lives. We're not going to do that. I've ministered on this before, and I'm sure you probably heard me say this, but this is why this is so powerful, because they never prayed not to go into the furnace. That was never their prayer. They didn't go and say, well, God, please don't let this man put us in the fire. Oh, God, please save us. They didn't look for self-preservation. They said, even if you put us in there, our God is able to save us. But even if he doesn't, and that's the thing that, you know, is awe struck to me. That's what's inspiring to me, because a lot of times we don't always get the outcome that we're desiring. We don't always get the outcome that we're praying for. But again, it doesn't mean that God has forsaken us. There are some things that, yes, we have to go through. There are certain things that he allows us to go through to strengthen our faith, to strengthen our resolve. But how many people turn their back on God because they look at something that just happened yesterday down in Florida? Oh, see, they must have did something. God punished them, or they must have did something and God was angry with them. But see, I'm telling you, these are all lies and tricks of the devil. Those are the things he wants you to focus on. This here is the work is done. And we're talking about being in rest, having that assurance to know that God has our back. And we'll be back right after this track.
Danger Pat. Big Y.
Winchester. Yeah. Saved by grace.
Yeah. Yeah.
Winchester. Saved by grace. Everybody full of pride and self-consumed. You one day I felt so hard, lost my faith in God. I couldn't even pray. So I say, no matter who you are, no matter what you've done, you never fall from grace. Oh yeah, 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 yeah.
Let go.
Winchester. just for ya. And I pray before the sun goes down, you turn your life around some way and somehow.
My grandmama started me a Sunday school, cool, went in the afternoon too, got the word, doing Sunday service, Easter speeches always made me nervous, and now my sermons heard over the globe, like a pastor speaking in your mega churches, I powerball, make mega millions, all for my kids and my children's children, materialism can't take it with you, boy, only your soul is worth the weight in gold, only the strong survive till they get old, then it's time to meet your maker, so, what they say when you get to the pearly gate, open sesame or through the gates of hell, you wait for the developed self to introduce you to eternal flame and say, oh Lord, I'm sorry, oh, I promise, I'ma be good, ignore my problems. I receive you, ain't no more commas. No drama, no baby mamas. So I walk through the valley of the shadows. I'm full of life to the light that you passed on. Never had those doubts of faith because the harder times, we got us past those.
I've been a good boy, I've been a nuke. The son of a preacher, you going figure. I did all my wrong as a believer. I found God, I heard him call. Right on my scene in the midst of my fall. Said I didn't have to be perfect at all. Because of his love, I'm standing tall. The devil's a lie, he's a deceiver. Look at me now, I'm a new creature. Judging someone is like pulling a trigger. You kill him before they can meet the Redeemer.
Damn.
He's a forgiver.
Amen, amen. All right, we're back with The Work Is Done. And we are talking tonight about resting in Jesus and what that actually means. You know, my prayers go out to all the families in Florida. And now this thing is hitting South Carolina, going up through parts of North Carolina. And you know, we escaped here where we live. And here's the thing, even in the community that I live in, let me tell you how God blessed us, because here in our house, we never lost power. We didn't have any damage to our homes, but just right around the corner, some of my neighbors, they lost power for almost for 24 hours. They were without power. And see, and when you hear this stuff, again, it doesn't mean that God favors one over the other. It doesn't mean that. It just means that, you know, man, listen, we understand that in this world, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, called Satan the prince of the air. That's what it calls Satan. So every bad thing that happens is not from God. We have to recognize that there's a real devil who is busy out here in this world causing all kind of havoc, causing all kind of turmoil. And people, instead of placing the blame where it should be, will point the finger directly at God. Oh, well, he created, You know, everything, God knows what's going to happen, so therefore he allowed it to happen. You know why God allows things like this to happen? Because God can never go back on his word. That's why. So if you're listening tonight and you want to know why bad things happen in this world, why do bad things happen to good people, it's because God just won't go back on his word regardless of who it is. He didn't go back on his word to save his own son. He sent his son to die. And when Jesus was in that garden and he was praying, he said, "Father, is there any way that this cup could pass me by? Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done." God, if he wanted to, he could have said, "You know what, son, I changed my mind. You don't have to sacrifice yourself for these people. You don't have to do it." He could have changed his mind. But because he's, you know, the Bible says he's a God who cannot lie. God is not a man that he should lie, nor does he go back on his word. He won't go back on his word. So therefore, if things are happening, it's not because God wants it to. It's just because once sin nature enter in, then he can't go back on his word to stop it. Or else he would be unfaithful and untrue to himself. Hey, listen, we got a call on the line. Hey, caller, welcome to The Work Is Done. What's your name and where you calling from?
Hello. Oh, hi. My name is Ricardo Richard. I'm also a host on here, but I was just enjoying, you get what I'm saying, like the conversation that you was talking about. I'm also a believer as well. So it's just good to and refreshing to hear the truth, you know, because I feel like oftentimes, you know, when life begins, like, you know, sometimes you question, is God good? But I also realize with also now, like me going through the storm, you know, we just got to hold on to his promises and his word, you know what I mean? Because life is going to happen to everybody. You know, but I feel like the difference between us and the non-believer is that we have God to walk with us through it, and that God is not an interpersonal God. He's a very personal God. Like, you know, he wants us to come to him. You know, he wants us to live for him and to just be intentional with him and to give us, you know, our whole hearts to him, you know, not half do it, you know, so. It's just really good, like I said, to hear, like, that honesty, you know, because, you know, a lot of people, you know, some people are giving up, you know, some people they don't have hope, you know, and a lot of people are focused on their circumstances and what's going on around them, and they have a hard time understanding, like, okay, well, God, if you are good, why is all of these things happening? But I think that's why when life does happen, it's important for us to be on our word and, of course, be accountable to people and just keep our relationship with God, you know, solid and number one.
Amen. Amen. Listen, you know what? That is powerful. And to come from, you know, I don't know how old you are, but it sounds like, you know, you're a young man who has gained some understanding. And like you said, you're going through challenges and storms in your life, but at some point, you got that understanding that, man, listen, I'm going to live for God regardless.
Exactly.
Regardless of what I'm going through, I've made the decision to live for God. And that's what I'm talking about tonight. Because sitting here in this house with a hurricane on its way, man, I could have, like you said, I could have just focused on what was coming. I could have focused on the storm.
Right.
Instead of focusing on God. And that's right. What I chose to do. I chose to focus, say, listen, God, whatever your will is for my life, for this house, you know, you are the provider, you are the sustainer, you are the giver. You know, there's nothing here that I'm going to put before you. And because I was able to do that, he gives you that peace that surpasses all understanding. So, man, listen, whatever it is that you're going through in your life, I pray, man, that, you know, that you stay encouraged, that you just keep holding on to God's hand, man. The devil wants you to give up. He wants you to quit. He wants you to be fearful. He wants you to doubt. He wants you to be afraid. But you keep holding on to God's hand, because his promises are still yea and amen.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Amen. Listen, I appreciate you calling. Thanks for taking the time. Thanks for listening. And for those of you that are out there listening, yeah, call in tonight. Let me know your thoughts. Let me know your opinions. Because, see, this is real. And it's things that happen, like what's happening right now, that has happened in Florida, the things that is happening in the Carolinas, because the storm is still moving. These are the things that, you know, on the one hand, it will make you question, man, is God for real? Man, why? If God is real, why do these things happen? Why are these people losing their houses? And why are these people losing their lives? And see, and it's okay to have these kind of questions. See, I know some of the oldest time saints, some of the older believers, they tell you, oh, don't question God. No, we can question. And see, and this is what Jesus said. He says, you have not because you ask not. Ask that your joy may be full. God, why are these things happening? God, I need some understanding. I need some revelation. I need to know why these things are happening. See, because now when you start asking, be prepared for the answer. See, sometimes there are times where things are happening to you because of what you've done in your life. That's being real. There are consequences to every action. But people want to have the action without the consequences. Now, how do you think that's fair? Think that you can just do what you want, live how you want, say what you want, and there are no consequences? Come on, what kind of world do you live in where you think that that happens? I mean, you look at David. Look at King David. David lusted after Bathsheba to the point where he ordered her husband to go to the front line where he knew he would be killed in battle, just so that once he was killed in battle, he could have Bathsheba. That's exactly what happened. He got killed. David then married Bathsheba. Then he then got Bathsheba pregnant. But what happened? Nathan went to David, sent by God, and told him, man, listen, what you did was wrong. I would have given you the kingdom. Your kingdom would last forever. This is what God was telling David through Nathan. Anything that you asked me, I would have given it to you. You didn't have to go and have this woman's husband killed just so you can have her. Basically, the son, the baby that she's carrying is going to die. And you know what David did? David got on his knees. He prayed that child that she was carrying would not die. And what happened? The child died. Consequences for the action. There were consequences for his actions. And we're going to pick that up. While we listen to this next track, I want you to meditate on that. There are consequences for your actions. Okay, we'll be back with The Work Is Done right after this.
Good heaven. The stripper, she knew how to work that body, and all of a sudden she changed. She went down to the church and got saved. She looked over at me and said, it's your turn. I said, I feel like me, it's gonna burn. She asked, what did you do that was so wrong? I said,
Now my main girl is a believer. I think it's time for me to have her come to Jesus. And my side chick be telling me to leave her, but heaven ain't letting in cheaters. Gonna follow my heart and do the right thing. Gonna drop to my knees to give her that ring. Gonna let all the other girls go. Gonna walk on the straight and narrow. Oh, you know
I don't need a mansion. I'm happy just to make it in. Let me sweep the floor to work off my sin. I don't need VIP, but be in the back and I'll be good. I'll be satisfied if I'm not a hood
to let me
get out of.
Be a part of the conversation tonight. We're talking about resting in Jesus. And, you know, I left you with a question just to ponder, you know. And we have to understand that when we are walking in the will of God, that means we're going to go through some things. Hebrews chapter 11. When you start at verse, I believe it's verse 6, it says that without faith it's impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. But then after that, it goes on to talk about some of the awesome people in the Bible who had to actually operate by faith, regardless of circumstances. Circumstances, if you don't apply your faith, circumstances, if you take your eyes off of Jesus, just like Peter did when he got out of the boat, remember? Jesus came walking on the water. He said, hey, if it's you, bid me to come to you on the water. Remember how Peter was able to operate in faith to get out of the boat, to walk on water, to go to Jesus? But then what happened? What happened? He took his eye off Jesus and focused on the storm. That's what happens to a lot of people. That's why a lot of people walk away from the faith. That's why a lot of people walk away from the church. But ultimately, that's why a lot of people walk away from God. Because they take their focus off of him and put it on whatever situation that they're going through. Whatever situation that they're going through, they focus on the storm. They focus on the problem and not on the problem solver. So even now with these people who are going through it down here in Fort Myers, I would just encourage them to not look at what they're going through. Because here's the thing. Again, God can work miraculous. He can work miracles through turmoil. But if you're only focused on the problem, if you're only focused on the here and now, you'll never see what he wants to do for you in, through this. You got to be able to see past this. See, this is why in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. The joy that was set before him, he had to go through the storm. He had to go through the cross to get to the joy that was set before him. There is joy that is set before these people who have gone through this thing, but they got to realize they have to endure it to get to it. Hey, let's go back to the call lines. Caller, welcome to The Work Is Done. What's your name and where you calling from?
Hi, how are you? This is Tiana Speaks. I'm calling in from Jersey. And
hey.
I'm enjoying your program very much.
Well, good evening. Thank you for calling in. What part of Jersey are you from?
I'm from Atlantic City, New Jersey.
Okay. Well, you know, I'm originally from Philadelphia, born and raised, and have relocated to Florida. But being in Jersey, you know, you guys have, you know, I don't know if you're a native from that area, but New
That's
Jersey
my second
is
home
also
in Philadelphia. I don't
okay.
know it well, but I just travel a lot there.
Right.
Well,
you know, being from Florida, you guys have gone through storms. You have faced some of these kind of bad situations, shall we say. So how have you overcome some of the storms in your life?
So I've overcome, well, first I just want to touch on something you mentioned really quick before I answer that question. You said something about how you had power. You know, and the same thing during Sandy was for me. I kid you not, I fell asleep during Hurricane Sandy, and I didn't even know that maybe the power might have went off for a couple of, you know, a minute or so because the stove was blinking. But I was perfectly fine, and I was safe. Everyone around me in my area lost power. There are people who weren't even in their houses for years after Hurricane Sandy, you know. And it's funny because I remember I had an apartment. I was living on the first floor. It was just one floor. And I remember the ocean being in front of my house. And I was scared. And I'm like, you know, I didn't know what to do, you know, at that moment. You see the ocean is about to come inside of your house. And you never thought in a million years you'd see this. So I walked away. I came back and looked. And I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to pray. I prayed. And I kid you not, I walked back to that window and the water was receding. Like, it was within less than 15 minutes. It was receding. Hurricane Sandy just broke my heart to watch the people in Atlantic City lose so much, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So to answer your question on how I've overcame storms in my life is, at the end of the day, a lot of times it's the way that we think that causes a lot of the problems in our life. We think things are supposed to be a certain way, you know, and we don't live for God, we live for ourselves, you know. So I've overcome them by correcting my own thinking patterns, the way things are supposed to be, because I'm a very giving and caring person. I can't expect everybody to be like me and to think like me. And me expecting that has caused me a lot of hurt and turmoil, you know, from people who I really love who didn't have my back when I thought they would, you know. But just trusting, and I realized even just recently, I'll say I realize that we need to put more faith in God and not in human beings. So if we trust God, he's going to lead us to the right way. So whether it's a husband, a wife, a friend, a sister, a brother, sometimes we just put so much faith in them, and that's why we get disappointed. We have to realize that they're human, you know. As a human, you know, everybody is able to make a mistake at some point, whether they – you know, some people, you know, I understand, like, they might be dealing with some spirits. You know, that's not what I'm referring to. But, you know, it's just you have to correct your own behavior and start with yourself. You know, when the same things kept happening to me, even though I didn't necessarily do anything wrong, I'm like, okay, am I inviting the wrong people into my life and allowing them too close to me? Is my speech pattern, like, how do I speak to these people? Do I teach these people to respect me? You know, am I letting them walk over me? Like, I have to change something. Even though I know that I didn't, you know, wrong them, I have to correct myself first because I'm the common denominator in all of these situations. So that's how I've overcame a lot in my life and prayed and hurt. I hope anybody listening, anytime I've been hurt a lot. And anytime that I've been hurt, anytime I feel that hurt in my soul, you know, I just pray, like, God, I don't like this feeling. Can you please take it away from me? Please help me get over it. And I went through something extremely hurtful last year. And the person I am today, like, I was strong last year, but, you know, that situation kind of took me down a little bit. I cannot believe what I've overcame that situation and the power that I have. And I thank God for that because I kept praying, like, God, please just take this pain from me. Please take it. Please take it. And a lot of people that I'm friends with didn't even know exactly what I was doing. Very few that I, you know, shared with, because I don't believe in bringing that energy to people and making everyone else slow down, you know, like, unless it's someone who is supportive and can pray with you and walk through it. And I'm thankful for my best friend who is by my side for 20 plus years, who would give their life for me and I give my life for them. Like, they're just everything to me. So I'm lucky and I'm thankful for God to give me a gift every single day of such an amazing friend. So that helped me too, you know, but checking myself is what really, you know, helped me heal.
You know what? Wow. That's all I can say, because you touched on so much that I really hope that, and I know you were probably trying to rush it and get it all out, but I really hope people are paying attention to what you were saying, because what you said was powerful. You touched on so many things. You touched on praying and just believing and trusting God. You touched on how people mm-hmm. can let you down. And see, here's the thing, like, and you also said, like, you were a common denominator. So, you know, you had mm-hmm. to realize there were some things that you may have been inviting into your life that you mm-hmm. had to change what you said. You had to change how you acted. You had to change how you responded. And see, that's what people have to understand. That's what I was talking about, consequences, before when I was talking about David. There are always consequences to our actions. You know, the Bible says that when we sow, whatever seeds that we sow, we're going to reap that harvest. Whether you mm-hmm. sow good seeds or whether you sow bad seeds, you're going to reap that harvest. But here's the thing. People get mad when the harvest comes in from the seeds that they've planted. And you got to realize, yeah, well, like, I planted that. I sowed that seed.
Yeah.
And if I want to get a different harvest, then there's something about me, the sower, that has to change. I can't always look to blame the people.
That's a lot of the problem. I think a lot of people are looking on outward blame of things. And it's not to say that the things that happened to them were right or anything like that. Like, some people, you know, have things happen to them in their life. But it's like, at the end of the day, the one thing that I changed about myself is, I can't say that I always made excuses for people, but I always tried to look at the positive, you know, and I know not everybody's perfect, but now what I do is I don't pay necessarily attention to how somebody speaks to me, to how they treat me. I pay attention to how they treat somebody who has no worth to them. They can't gain anything from that person. And how do they act when they're angry? Because when you're angry, you let everything out, you know what I mean, unless you have control over it, you know, most of the time. Like, people are angry. It'll tell you so much, and it'll tell you possibly – It's a good indicator of how they may treat you at some point. And you have to ask yourself, is this something that I want to continue, whether it's a relationship, whether it's, you know, a friendship, whether even it's a family, you know. A lot of times we feel, you know, we hold on to our friendships because we've been friends with somebody for 30 years or 15 years for, you know, and we're holding on to who that person was, not who they are at this present moment. So you might have had an amazing friendship 20 years ago. That person changed. They don't it exists. So at the end of the day, do they deserve to still be in your space? Yes, you have memories, but if they're taken from your soul, let them go. Because that peace, like, that hurt, it may hurt because they feel a part of you, but that peace that you'll regain will feel so much better. You know, and I had to learn that myself, because if I had history, I felt like they had to be there forever. That's not true. Sometimes you have to just outgrow people and, you know, and move on, you know, because what I think, God won't let anything, you know, who's supposed to be in your life will be in your life. You know what I mean? So, and just, I, yeah, yeah. So I had to do all that myself. Like, I had to, because I was so at a point where I let people just practically drain me because of the way they were treating me, and I was upset. And it's like, wait a minute, but hold on. I'm allowing these people to do this to me. So I put my foot down, and I don't allow, like, why do I allow people to treat me, you know, any, you know, less than what God would want me to be treated? Why would I, why would I allow that? So,
and, you know,
I hope somebody, even one person, is listening to that.
Yeah, and seeing people do that because of acceptance. People want to be accepted. They want to feel as though they belong. And, you know, not thinking for taking the time to share that, you know. And it just reminds me of how when Jesus came into the city riding on the donkey, all the people were yelling, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Those same people that were cheering Hosanna are the same people that were yelling, Crucify.
Yeah.
So everybody don't always, like you said, you know, we're friends today, but things change, circumstances change, life life happens, and people, they grow apart, they grow distant, and for whatever reason, you know, people are in your life for a season, and when the season is over and they've completed whatever it is that they needed to fulfill in your life, yes, a lot of times it's time to move on, and we hold on to people longer than they want to be held, and it's not on them, it's on us. So listen, hey sis, thank you for calling in. I appreciate you. I appreciate your words tonight. I appreciate the maturity that I hear in your growth, because that's what it means. It's maturity to get to that place where you have to make those hard decisions to let people go, even if it's family.
Yes. So, I thank you for allowing me to share this. Thank you so much. I always want to get the word out about this, because I know where I've been, and somebody else may be feeling like me right now. Well, not how I felt before, you know, and I just want to just lift their spirit, because that place, that dark place, is just not a good feeling. So hopefully somebody's uplifted and lets that dead weight go, you know, and praise the people out of their life that are supposed to be there. And I thank you for giving me the opportunity. Thank you for sharing your story, you know, and I can tell that you're a man of tremendous faith. And I like to say, thank Brother O for even just having me as, like, you know, allowing me to speak, you know. So I appreciate that, you know.
Amen. Are you one of the new hosts on WBNN?
No. I just support, because this is an amazing station. So if anybody listening, you make sure that you tune in to WBNN every single night, except for Saturday, 9:30 p.m. sharp. Make sure you listen, because it's amazing people on here, like this man right here. Make sure you listen to all of these people.
So. All right, again, thanks, sis. I listen. I appreciate you. Please continue to call in. Please continue to follow. Please continue to support, because this is an awesome network. Hey, you people that are listening in, I wish y'all could just, wherever you are, just give her a hand, a round of applause, because what she shared tonight was just awesome, you know. And it just goes to show that, you know, you're not alone in whatever struggle that you're going through in your life. And that's part of the trick of the enemy. He wants you to feel like you're the only one who's going through whatever type of turmoil, whatever type of storm, you're the only one going through it. So he wants you to feel isolated. He wants you to feel alone. He wants you to feel abandoned. Because, see, when you feel that way, then you feel that there's no hope. All you can feel is despair. He wants you to feel as though God has forsaken you. And even, you know, one of the things that I minister on, you know, often is how when those who are in your inner circle hurt you, that is something that cuts deep. Because if a stranger on the street came up to you, called you out your name, said you would be nothing, said you're no good, you know, you wouldn't care because you don't know that person. But when it's somebody in your inner circle, somebody who you've confided in, somebody who you've trusted in, when it comes from them, that's a different cut, and it cuts deep. And sometimes people have a hard time recovering from that. You know, when the last broadcast I did 4 weeks ago, I talked about bitter roots, how, you know, you can have that bitterness, that unforgiveness. And even you, a lot of people have that towards God because of what they've gone through in their lives. You know, there are people who are down there in Fort Myers right now. I'm quite sure they, if you talk to them, they say, man, we prayed that this thing wouldn't come our way. And it did. Now I'm mad. I'm mad at God. I'm mad at the world. I'm mad because this thing has happened to me. But we got to place that anger, that frustration where it belongs. And we'll talk about that when we come back right after this track. This is The Work of Diamond on Earth. We'll be back right after this. We have another caller on the line. Caller, welcome to The Work Is Done. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Hey, how you doing, man of God? Hey, my travel name is Huni Bakatun, and my pen and stage name is the Magic Man Haru. How you doing tonight, sir?
Man, I'm always blessed, and blessed always to hear from you, the Magic Man. What's happening, brother? Thank you for calling in. What you got for me tonight?
Hey, you know, I'm just sitting in the audience, always appreciative for whatever you have to bring us. But, you know, something about that storm, you know. Well, I tell you, I don't know. Right now, My spirit is jumping somewhere between the canting spirituals and the mighty clouds of joy. Yes, indeed. Well, both of them brought it, though. On the real, though, it really comes down to preparation. You know, when we look at the challenging times that we all are facing, all of us got our different challenges. But it's always best to be prepared than unprepared. And sadly enough, a lot of times we don't heed the warning. We can see all the signs and for some reason call it certain human nature that we choose to ignore certain realities or certain pending things. And I reflect back to about maybe 2 years ago is when the first subject I conquered on these advancements on my show, I spoke about being to see beyond the odds. To be able to feel impending danger. We have those abilities, you know, we have some of those divine gifts, and either we don't develop it, we let it go, or in some cases, you know, we those of us who with certain gifts like that, if we're brought up in a family that isn't used to that, called all kind of names and stuff like that, like it's sacrilegious, but trust me, that's a very divine gift that some have received from on high, you know, but if it's misunderstood, then some people might take it as witchcraft or whatever. But anyway, it's something about those storms. I just want people to not just look at, you know, when it comes to a hurricane and other stuff, you got other stuff that can disturb you just as much or even more than a hurricane, especially when it becomes personal, you know?
Yeah, you know, one of the things, The main thing that stood out to me that you said was preparation. Because no matter what you do in life, there's a preparation that has to take place. If you're going for a new job, you need to prepare for that. If you're buying a new car, if you're buying a new house, whatever it is, whatever you're doing in life, there's preparation. And just like when it comes to the storms that we face in life, if you are not prepared, then you'll be caught off guard. So when you said the preparation, the first thing that came to my mind was the 10 virgins. Remember how the word says there were 5 wise and 5 foolish. The five wise virgins, they made sure that they had enough oil for the long haul. Not just for the short term, they made sure that they were prepared for as long as it took. The 5 foolish only took enough for a certain amount of time. So when they ran out, they had to go get more. And while they were going getting more, the Bible says the bridegroom came and took the 5 wise. Now here come these 5 foolish ones. Now they knock on the door trying to get in. Oh, you're too late. Why? Because you weren't prepared. And it's just like, you know, when they talk about these hurricanes coming, you know, one of the things my wife and I did, we prepared. We put up the shutters on the windows. We made sure we protected as much of it that was in our ability to protect. And I don't understand how people don't go through life, Brother Hooney. I don't understand why people don't go through life with a mindset of being prepared.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. And, you know, we look at all this day and time. See, we're dealing with a lot more distractions than it was when the Lord and Savior was, you know, during that time period. It had problems that even he was facing while he was here. But not like today, though. We got so many things that keep people distracted, especially, and I must admit, you know, I get caught up myself, especially with the mobile device. You know, pretty much all our stuff is there. And if by chance that you lose it or, you know, a storm come and it knock out the towers and you're without it, a lot of times it's more hurt than a lost dog or something. You know, we have become so accustomed to modern technology, you know. But anyway, I'm sitting in the audience, always enjoying your message. And, hey, keep doing what you're doing, okay?
All right, man. Listen, I appreciate you. Always appreciate your words of wisdom. And we have a viewer's choice track next, given by Teresa Givens from Orangeburg, South Carolina. Our prayers are with everybody in the Carolinas who may be affected by this storm. And we'll be back right after this track.
Oh, 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 okay. The other day, about a preacher who fell from grace. He begged the church for forgiveness. He realized he made a mistake. And some folks left the church and said, "You're supposed to be a man of the cloth." See, they forgot he was the same man that prayed for them when they were lost. So glad God is not like man. Won't throw you away after you've done wrong, but I'll pick you up and step you off and put you back where you belong. God didn't give up on me. I'm so glad. God, yeah, didn't give up on me. When I gave up, easy to point the finger when the spotlight's not on you. Well, and we would be surprised what we see if the truth come out on you. And you need to show a little mercy and grace for somebody else. And take your foot off your brother and consider yourself. I'm glad God has done like
for me, because I'm bringing Pastor Perry on now, because many different times, definitely in this radio network, and I'm telling you, It's hard times, dealing with people, dealing with certain hosts, commitments. Even in the business realm, try to make sure we get sponsorships. And I am so grateful that the Almighty Creator did not give up on me. Now back to Pastor Perry.
Hey, listen, you have said mouthful, because that's what people need to understand. Even in the hard times, and I can't reiterate it enough, God still doesn't give up on you. All right, let's go to the next caller. Caller, welcome to the Workers' Band. What's your name and where you calling from?
This is Clever One, one half of the Booze Brothers, representing from the Broad Street Bully side of Philadelphia, where we understand the rare words. Well, shout out to the Reverend.
Check, my brother
check this.
From Broad Street. All right, what's
yes,
going on, brother?
Yes, sir. I wanted to tap in with you, you know what I'm saying, because I was listening in and I wanted to follow up in regards to the area where individuals have to understand this. You know, when calamities fall upon you and when hardships fall upon you, know that there's two reasons, for two reasons, one or the other reason, that who preordained these things upon you and who decreed these things to happen to you, whether if it's good or it's bad. This is what it was for. It was for either you. It was either this was something in which that God wanted you to bear witness and be patient and perseverant, so that He can reward you for this patience and perseverance. You know what I'm saying? Because this was a test for you, to become a greater person. You know what I'm saying? Or this is some form of a punishment from your disobedience, or from things in which that are prohibited, in which you know that it's prohibited, but you practice in normalities. Or there's commands in which you know that you should be indulging in that you do not. You know what I'm saying? Where basically this is lazy acts of worship, in which we have commands. You know what I'm saying? Because a lot of us understand that the magic number is 10. Verily, the magic number is 613. You know what I'm saying? And the second degree to that is individuals. Know this. We went to school as children, you know what I'm saying, where we went from preschool to 12th grade, and then we stopped. Some of us stopped. Some of us went on to college 4 more years and then stopped. Some of us went to grad school and then stopped. Some of us went to a trade school and then stopped. However, as your lifespan goes on, you're supposed to educate yourself. And the first education you should have upon yourself as a human being is the education to be a human being. And how you find these educations is in the Suhoof, people, the pages, the scriptures that have been prescribed for the human being. You know what I'm saying? So learn these things. Learn the education in which you're negating yourself. You know what I'm saying? Because if you was to go into school to be a RN, a CRRN, RDEN, an ILRE, RUWIPN, and all that, you're going to have your book. You're going to study what's in the book. You're going to pass the grades. You're going to get A's on the test. You're going to pass in the papers. Do all the things that you're supposed to do to get the answers right, so that you can be a RNNN or WAPWAPWAPNN. But what you skipped over was the books that you're supposed to be reading to learn how to be a human being. I'm Clever One, one half of the Booze Brothers, representing from the Broad Street Bully side of Philadelphia. You know what I'm saying? Where we collect all the money, not just on plates. Check your satellites.
And listen, again, hey, man, appreciate you calling in. Appreciate you sharing. And you know what I'm going to say? I got to represent, you know, I'm born and raised in the city of brotherly love, but I'm still going to rep my Cowboys. All right. Hey, listen. Hey, thanks for calling in. We're going to keep this thing moving. We're going to go back to the call lines. We got another call on the line. Caller, welcome to the Workers' Band. What's your name and where you from?
Hello. This
yes.
is Angela. How you doing?
Hey, sister Angela, I'm good. How are you tonight?
I'm doing pretty good. I can't complain. I don't know what that is. Something in my background going off. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
I don't know what that is. It's a phone or something going off. But, yeah, I'm just sitting here listening to you guys. And I was listening to what Hooney was about to say about this technology. And I'm just enjoying it. I'm here in Myrtle Beach, and the storm, we was without power for a little while, but it didn't last long. I think our power went out for about 2 minutes, and then it came back on. And then I was just reminded, you know, it's just like the storms of our life. You know, they gonna come, and there's phases of storms, and people have to understand that, you know, even though the storm in Florida, it had passed. They had went through the storm, and then it was making its way on up here. So y'all who went through the storm, we was in the midst of the storm, and then it was headed to North Carolina.
Right.
So storms never, it's always a storm brewing somewhere. So I tell people, don't get too comfortable, because there's three phases to a storm. You either going in a storm, you in the midst of a storm, or you're coming out of a storm. But
out.
Know that he's always there. Know that he's always there. He said he would never leave you nor forsake you.
Amen. And that is so true, and I'm glad you called in to share that, because a lot of times, I tell people, you know, especially if they say they're believers, oh, I don't go through anything. I tell them people, you need to check your walk.
You need to live a little longer.
Yeah, you can't tell me you're a believer and you're not going through anything. The devil don't bother people who belong to him.
Okay.
It's the people that belong to God is the one he troubles. And you're right, I've never seen the storm. You know, I've heard a category 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 hurricanes. I've never seen a storm go across the whole state of Florida, go into the Atlantic, and then come back inland and still cause damage. I've never seen that.
Okay.
You know, and so that just tells us, it's like one of the things that Brother Hooney was saying too, you know, that preparation thing. We have to be prepared. That means, preparation means you have to be prayed up. You have to be in your word. You have to study so that these things, whatever the storm is that's coming your way, and like you said, you're either getting ready to go in one, you're in one, or you're coming out of one. Don't be ignorant. Don't think that, you know, just because things are fine right now for you don't mean that nothing's coming. But
better believe it.
These are what these storms are designed to do. They should be designed to increase your faith, your trust, your dependency on God, to know that, like you said, he will never leave you nor forsake you. Even if you're in the storm, stop focusing on the problem. Stop focusing on the trouble. Keep your eye on God, because that's who's going to bring you through the storm. And 9 times out of 10, he's going to bring you out better than you were when you went into it.
That's it. And that's why it's very important that we tune in to shows like this and we stay in our word, so that we have something on the inside of us, so that when we're going through something, we can pull that up out of us.
Amen. Amen. Well, listen, I'm glad you
thank you for all that you do. I tell you, I enjoyed this tonight, and I thank you for all that you do.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you guys are safe down there in Myrtle Beach. I know this thing is heading down toward North Carolina. I've got family in North Carolina that I'm praying that they'll be just as safe. Amen. And listen, keep fighting that good fight of faith.
That's it. I thank you.
All right. Thank you.
You have a good
night, Angela. You have a good night as well. Stay prayed up. Stay blessed. And we'll be back right after this next track, DJ Legend. Brother O, bring it on.
Oh.
know, I'm glad Brother O played that last track, as you know, that was a very fitting song to close out this episode of The Work Is Done. Thank you for being so good to me. Even when we go through, he's been good to me. Even when I didn't understand what I was going through, he was good to me. So if you've heard this broadcast tonight, understand one thing. Doesn't matter where you are, it doesn't matter who you are, doesn't matter your race, religion, creed, color, background, financial status. Trouble is not prejudice. It will find you. It will come looking for you. How you respond to the storm is just as important as the storm itself. It's even more important, because if you have the wrong response to the storm, then you coming out of that storm will be delayed. But if you have the proper response, knowing that God is going to be good to you in the storm, out of the storm, he's going to be faithful, then you have the assurance to know that the storm is going to be all right. So, you know, let me offer you something that some of you probably don't have. Let me offer you this assurance, the assurance that I had, that I felt, and I'm talking just yesterday, talking about, you know, something that I've gone through. I'm talking about what the assurance that I just experienced going through this hurricane. The assurance that I had was that Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, was going to be good to me, that he had my back, that he was going to bring me out, that he was going to bring me through. If you don't have that assurance, let's get you signed up tonight. I want to invite you into the kingdom simply by saying, Lord Jesus, come into my heart, be Lord of my life. Cleanse me of all unrighteousness. Create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. You for saving my soul. In Jesus' name, amen. If you said that prayer tonight, not only are you grafted into the kingdom, but now you have assurance, not insurance, you have assurance that God has got your back and he will always be good to you. This is Pastor Kev. The work is done. It is now time for Ngozi Todd. Thank you for listening.
Well, first of all, I want to thank Pastor. You know, the final song I played, I remember as a 4 or 5 year old. My dad always studying his lesson, you know, being a pastor's child. My dad's time was always wonderful. And I would come down the steps, little kid, and hear that song. And my dad would, you know, peek out his glasses and look at me. And what are you doing, boy? And I would sit there and I would feel the song. And I'm a child. But I knew God had his hand on me and in a place in my life. From that time until producing this show tonight, there's a lot of calamities going on in the world. Let God take control. There's a lot of people out there right now who want to commit suicide. They have nowhere else to go. You know, the old song that my grandma used to sing, where will I go but unto the Lord? Outstanding show tonight. Giving honor to my grandmother, my dad, and my mother, who raised a very, very good kid, who is your provider of this outstanding WBNN network. Tomorrow night, there's no shows. I'm happy about that. I get a chance to get some rest myself. And we come back on that Sunday, this week, with news form by the Honorable Dr. Chinchilla J, the WBN new host of the year for the class of 2021, 9:30 Eastern, daylight time, and you know what time it is, right? 516-453-9133 to join in and press 1 for the conversation. Now, of course, WNN has, you know, Average Thompson through Ngozi Time Multimedia. We're at Pinterest, we're at Twitter, and we're at Instagram at Ngozi_time. Olavelli Malewa Ngozi at Facebook. Any comments, suggestions, or wonderful program tonight? Ole de lay. Time goes for minds, gmail.com. I am. Your number and father's favorite producer, the mentor, Lord Sire. You know, your boy. Olavelli Malewa Ngozi say good night and good luck. To all the folks out there in Armed Force Radio that support us on a constant basis. Now back to the Reverend Pastor Kevin Perry.
All right. Listen, I pray that you guys enjoyed this program tonight. Continue to support WBNN, all of its hosts. Continue to support Brother O. I'm sure it's not easy doing what he needs to do. But, hey, just like he said, God's got his back. And this is stuff that was instilled in him from a child. So, hey, listen, we'll be back in 4 weeks. Continue to pray for those who have been affected by this storm. Continue to keep them in your prayers. Help out in any way that you can. Pray for those where the storm is going, and just be prepared. Amen. Hey, I love you guys, and I'll be back in 4 weeks with the work is done. God bless. Peace out.